You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We've got the useless sound montage to get to here. Billy has been suffering in the dungeon of press conferences. It's a lot of work, Stugatz, for about four or five, sometimes three, sometimes six glorious minutes of recapping the week with cliches and coach speak. We talked a lot of football yesterday, and a tweeter writes in, terrible take from Le Batard Show. How has the University of Oklahoma not been relevant like they were under Barry Switzer when Stoops led them to a national championship and 10 Big 12 titles and now four more under Riley and a few college football appearances? Terrible take. Oklahoma, when I was watching Barry Switzer, was either one or two every year. They were something that felt like Alabama. It wasn't about winning that conference. That was, even right, as they were having tough games against Nebraska, you were talking about Oklahoma under Barry Switzer was the best. Oklahoma over every, under, after Barry Switzer with everyone they've had, they're the fourth best team that can get into the playoff and they're going to get smoked.
Right. I mean, it's that simple. Once upon a time, back when it was the Big Eight, I believe, Oklahoma was a powerhouse in college football every single season.
But it was
season.
A national school. It was not, yes. It was national. It's not about Oklahoma, Texas, the regional thing that becomes national. Oklahoma was what Alabama, what USC, what Miami was under Barry Switzer. They were first, man, before all these people. Renegade program that sort of sells its soul in order to be the very best in that sport with no good reason out of Oklahoma to be the very best.
They were a national program because they were really good because of Barry Switzer and because they recruited guys like Brian Bosworth, who was a national name. I mean, so that was a national program
at
one point.
It's not the recruit that became a national name. He became a star. He became almost one of the few college football stars. That's what the program was, and that's Man, it's hard to stay up there as either the best or the second best.
I think that tweeter was absolutely right. They're a national program. We've kind of got Oklahoma fatigue because, okay, how are they going to get in the college football playoff and not win a game in the playoff? But they have multiple Heisman Trophy winners, multiple number one overall picks. They're always a part of the college football playoff or national championship discussion until late in November.
But it just feels, Mike, like lately every season's the same season. It's 11-1 or 12-0. They get to the national semifinal. They lose to someone who's better than them, and then their season's over. I mean, that's it. They're like the fifth best program in the country.
Look, forgive me, because it is a bit of hair splitting here. I'm talking about being either the best or the second best program in the country and being the fourth or fifth or sixth best. Like, right. It's not like that's really what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference, especially where Alabama is right now. When I think of Barry Switzer's programs, what I think of is before the advancement of throwing the football around in college football, that was the most feared program in the country. On and off the field, hugely interesting beyond its coach because it was a renegade program. They were doing the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, quarterback dealing crack, guns, all that stuff. It was just a different It was a different thing, but I forgive me if what I'm doing is the argument between second best program right. and sixth best program. I'm sorry, Mike, to have offended you and the college football zealots out there with my blasphemy.
The second best program, though, meant something at, you know, once upon a time in college football. It feels like there's one program and everyone else. I'm right. not even certain being second is that big of a deal anymore.
They've been fourth four times. They're 0-4 in the college football playoffs.
Right.
So put some respect on their name.
Oklahoma has sustained excellence the way almost nobody else has other than Alabama. I mean, look at Miami and Florida State, among others, have fallen off. Oklahoma has not. Here's what's fun to think of. Post-Nick Saban. Someday Alabama's going to be, you know, they're going to be going 8-3, 7-4. Imagine being the coach that follows Nick Saban.
That Crazy. Day is never going to happen. Saban's never going to leave.
He will
never.
Win four Does. National championships while Saban's in the grave.
Okay. Yeah.
And then maybe it'll peter out like it did for Switzer when he took Jimmy Johnson's players with the Cowboys. And then it'll peter out like it did for Coker. But no, it's going to take years. Man, that's such a good job as soon as Saban leaves. Such a good job.
Oh, sure.
But Greg, there's Clemson. There's Ohio State. At least those teams, you've seen them win a national championship. They have a chance to win a national championship.
Right.
No one thinks Oklahoma's winning the national championship. Nobody.
No,
that's not true. Every year, somebody thinks, and right. Oklahoma thinks.
Fans,
every right. year,
look at you coming around.
Every year, someone can talk themselves into it.
I think the year with Baker Mayfield when they played that outstanding Rose Bowl game was the year that I most believed they were national championship winners. But lost very close, very closely.
My point.
I've got to tell you guys what happened here right before, surprisingly, we got really, really into the weeds on Oklahoma football in a way that I was not expecting.
You really took that tweet hard. I mean,
Rhonda, thank you for reminding me of that Rose Bowl. Georgia was so good that year. They should have won the title. Yeah.
Georgia's that we're headed for Alabama.
Right, I'm going to call them third best that year.
We're headed for Alabama, Georgia playing one of those 7-3 LSU games, right?
Well, unless Florida beats Georgia, then it will be Florida and Alabama. And keep in mind, okay, Florida is the second best team in the country. Only lost to Alabama by two. You like Florida better than Oklahoma, don't you, Smitty?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. The Oklahoma's defense has been a little bit better, I would say. But Spencer Rattler, like, he needs some more opportunities to play. I think he'll get better throughout the season. So yeah, I like Oklahoma. I wouldn't, if I were an Oklahoma fan, I wouldn't be that worried that they've had a few close ones early this season. Like Alabama played a close one on Saturday.
Stugatz, you heard, this was a funny question and answer from Frank Beamer's kid, Shane Beamer. Did you hear him talking about like what happened to your team against the Georgia front seven? What happened? You haven't heard the sound
I'm
yet?
I'm just happy there's a Beamer roaming the sidelines.
Okay, there is a Beamer roaming the sidelines.
BMW.
And this is just an honest appraisal when he is asked, I wish.
I enjoyed it.
Before
that
we
was
get,
a heat check.
Before we get to this sound, I want to bring it back around to Cody because.
Thank you.
What just happened with him before we started this segment, Mike, you will marvel at. And Whittingham, this is the same family of stuff that infuriates you about Stugatz. After all of that, the holdout, all of I demand promotion for my show, shadowy negotiations with Mike Ryan that I didn't know about, a holdout that included him boycotting back in my day, Greg Cody, after all of that, turns to me during the break and says, hey, I forgot my back in my day at home.
That a boy.
Yep. It's there. It's written. Page and a half.
Dog ate my homework level excuse.
You know what I'm going to do? As soon as I get home, I'm going to take a photo of the written back in my day and text it to you guys.
I have a better idea. Why don't we send Chris, your son, to your house and have him take a photo of it.
It's
send
his
it
day
to us.
Off.
I mean, yeah, but he's the same neighborhood, right?
Yeah, we're about 10 miles apart.
Okay.
It is. I mean, day off. Like, does anyone really get a day off around here?
No. He's supposed to be working for Levitard and Friends today. He's on assignment, and I see no bigger assignment.
You know what, Greg? Do me a favor. Just in a second, leave the room and call your son and get in the back of my day. But I want to speak to the overarching general rage-soaked entitlement. He then turns to me and says, as if I should be impressed by this. You know, it's only the second time it's happened.
That's right.
That I've forgotten the one f-ing thing that I have to do around right. here.
I'm impressed.
Thanks. Only twice.
My
first back in my day was in 2014. In 7 years, only twice have I written but forgotten to bring a back in my day.
You're so lo-fi. Just email it to yourself the next time. We can print it out for you here.
I didn't have the foresight to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, who thinks they're going to forget something?
But
you know.
7 years, two times, you're shooting a very high percentage.
Thank you.
I am proud of you.
It's right there next to my printer.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Who thinks they're going to forget something? He's totally right. It's the very nature and definition of forgetting.
I still use my printer. I love my printer.
Happened to me yesterday. I pulled some strings, called in an appointment at the DMV, which is very hard to get now.
Is.
It's an exclusive company. It's super far away. Golden Cane status, you know how it goes.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Christ. Did you know the DMV had a VIP?
So you need appointments typically to go to the DMV. That's a smart way to do it. Otherwise, you'll be there for a half day. But in a pandemic, they're acting backwards. And now there's no appointments. So you just have a super spreader event outside as opposed to trying to mitigate that. But there's only like two sites in Miami-Dade County that take reservations for appointments. And it's very exclusive windows, not for the Golden Cane. Either way, I get my appointment. It has Biscayne Boulevard in the address. So I'm like, okay, it'll take me 15 minutes from work. No, this is all the way in North Miami-Dade, the Justice Center, all the way over there.
Wow.
There's also in Biscayne Boulevard, which is very long. So I get over there. I have all my marriage license, social security number, voter ID card, driver's license, because I need to do this real ID thing. You need to be there because they scan your retinas. It's all crazy. Forgot my passport.
Oh, my.
And now I got to do this all over again. But don't fear. There's always another Golden Cane waiting to help out. What a community. We can do anything we put our minds to except for win the Coastal.
So you saw that the address was on a street and then assumed it was closed because you didn't realize the street was very long. So if the address had been like I-95, you would have been like, oh, it's 10 minutes away. But it could have been in Maine.
Yeah. See, there's so many parades.
Valid point.
There's so many parades down Biscayne Boulevard that whenever I think of Biscayne Boulevard, I just think of Dwayne Wade and confetti right across the street from the arena. But nope, this was in a place that I had only been to maybe once before, the old FIU campus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know it well. Wow.
Yeah, Biscayne Bay.
Look at what you have stirred
Biscayne
in
Bay
the
campus.
Back row, old FIU.
The things that will get him going.
I used to have to go to classes. There it is, so far. But that's where the School of Journalism is, and that's where I'd have to go to get some of these classes. It's kind of crazy. It's a really nice campus, though, if you're wondering, and it's right next to... What do you mean? No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's right on the water. Have you gone to
Tony feels
the water?
Strongly about this.
Wait a minute. Tony, get in here then. Tony is shouting off mic, just enraged by Billy's general opinion. I did
Man,
not think
that place sucks. Okay.
Wow.
First Jeez. And foremost, and I am a proud right graduate of the J School in at FIU, and I would go to the Biscayne Bay campus from Kendall every single day, like a choo-choo train, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Mm. It took me an hour and a half to get there, an hour and a half to get back.
Yeah.
And? Horrible campus.
What does it have to do with the campus?
Though? It's on the water.
It sounds like the commute is what sucks. I mean,
it is on the water. What do you talk about? You go out the back. Yeah, sometimes you got to go through like a trail.
There's like mangroves. You get killed by mosquitoes. You got to go through like a mild trail, and then finally the water.
It's beautiful.
The worst.
The bay
sucks.
Biscayne Bay, BBC. You know,
of course.
No, Biscayne Bay campus.
Mm-hmm. I went to orientation there. It was pleasant.
Right next to Alonzo Mourning High School.
It is, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But then I realized
Tracy, too.
The J school was too hard, so I was like, I'm not going to do this. So congrats on graduating.
Because of the drive.
Because the drive was bad. And school was
I had to take a bus one time.
It did really sound like you were enraged by the commute, and there was no way that you were going to like the campus. It doesn't sound like you're arguing on... I haven't heard, outside of it evidently existing in a swampy marsh of some sort, where...
Overstated.
It's not overstated, Dan.
It is
not
far
overstated.
Away. I will not dispute.
Well, and so's Bali, but people don't complain about that.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Greg Cody, your thoughts?
Stugatz.
Greg?
Okay, very good.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Why wouldn't you do appointments during a pandemic?
I saw that like multiple women passed out and had to go to the hospital a few weeks ago because it was so hot out and they were all waiting in line outside for hours.
So I went to the Cut the Ridge one. I went to, and I go there at 7:45 and I see the line. I'm like, this is not going to happen. So I go to the Kendall one. I'm like, okay, shorter line. I walk around a mini mall almost twice. And wow. I'm standing outside. I'm like, surely this is quick moving. I take one step in 15 minutes and then that's when I'm like, Golden Canes. Come to the rescue. Yeah.
Mike, though, aren't you basically lamenting one of the great symbols for government inefficiency that we have in this country? If I were to say to you initials, I don't know if the U.S. Post Office is even viewed the way that this is for, I don't even.
The Post Office is a breeze right now. I mean, no one's going to the Post Office. Nobody. No lines, right. Nothing.
But yes. The DMV, you're complaining about what I associate those initials with. Oh, nothing good is going to happen here. It's all going to be inefficient. It's not the worst of government inefficiencies, but only because we pay like somehow $26,400 for a toilet seat.
It's never been a good experience. Never been a good experience at the DMV. And I was so close to having one. But then I couldn't get out of my own way. Spinning too many plates. Didn't take time to read everything that I needed to bring. Who brings a marriage license but not a passport? Damn you, Mike Ryan.
I'm sorry that all of that happened to you. Pandemic DMV sounds super sad. Yeah. All of it. Like, you got no chance. Your mental health is going to really be tested. Pandemic DMV. So I'm sorry that that happened.
But there were 12 people in line. My Golden Canes came through. I was taking selfies. I'm like, look at this. How great is a DMV? Having the time of my life. After having to flee two previous ones just days before because it was the seventh ring of hell. But I was enjoying it, and I just let myself down in the worst way.
I was trying to get to this Shane Beamer sound, and I want to get to the useless sound. This is not useless sound. He's a South Carolina football coach, and he's just basically asked about Georgia because it would appear, I mean, yes, Florida played Alabama close, but it would appear that we're headed toward, oh, wait, can Alabama play one of these games with a Georgia defense that's totally overwhelming? That's going to be like those LSU-Alabama games that were played a long time ago. Although I don't think Saban had quarterbacks in any of those games. Did he? Did he have quarterbacks in those 7-3 games he was playing against LSU?
I think so.
McCarron was a quarterback for one of them.
I mean, the quarterback he has now is probably the best quarterback he's ever had.
Why do we do this with Nick Saban?
He's so good.
We're like, wow, he just figured out to recruit quarterbacks. It's kind of weird, no? It's kind of weird. Like, Nick Saban didn't realize he had bad quarterbacks the entire time, and he's just like, oh, wait, I'll just recruit a quarterback. Or maybe he just did, and they didn't work out.
Well, it started with Tua, right? That was the first big
no. No. McCarron was probably, actually.
He was a big-time recruit, McCarron?
Yeah, they had one of those three first-name type. That's all Alabama had. John Parker Wilson? Was it John Parker Wilson?
I wanted to just blurt Peter Tom Willis, because it's just another three-person name from FSU quarterback.
Yeah, John Parker Wilson, and then Brody Croyle. Brody Croyle got into the NFL. And then, things really took off with A.J. McCarron, and then pretty much good quarterbacks throughout his entire time there.
Greg McElroy stop. Greg
McElroy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. But I would say that was the weakest of his positions, and now you have guys, Mike, who are decommitting from USC and going to Alabama. Like, it's like the last drop in the bucket here. I mean, but it is.
Let's play this sound, though, because he was asked about the Georgia front seven, and it appeared at the beginning of the Zoom that he wanted his hair to look less bald, or maybe he had hair at the beginning of the day, and then Georgia's defense just made him look like that.
Really cruel for the SID department over at South Carolina to just have the Zoom open before he can get set and check himself out, because this was very clearly the first question Shane Beamer had, and he was trying to get his look right for it.
And the only question that mattered, really, and I'm glad he could have left the press conference after this, because this explained what happened to the great lineage of Beamer ball that you will find in college football after it met the scary front seven from Georgia.
Just what were they doing to maybe make things physical on the offensive side and maybe being able to get a push?
Who was doing?
Georgia's a defensive line. What were they doing to maybe make things difficult on the offense?
They've got like 105 star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call. They've got 5-star defensive backs. They're big and physical and fast. I mean, other than that, they're really freaking good. That's why they have the top defense in the country. They're hard to run the football on. So there wasn't some magical scheme they came out with tonight. They got 5-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn.
Wow, stuck the landing.
I mean, he might as well have come out and just said, you guys saw that shit. Like, come on, who are we kidding? Damn. Like,
they got a million 5-star. Look,
I know. I learned a lot at my daddy's knee.
Damn.
I know what it looks like when they've got those guys and I don't.
Damn.
Billy, how do you feel about the useless sound montage? We got to bring the people in to the glorious. We don't have a lot of minutes better than these minutes. It is a ride through just awful sludge. So how are you doing this week?
I'm okay. We got new music, Dan. I don't know if that excites you in any way. We got some new music.
How did this work? Because I don't know what's going on with our music rights, and I miss the music. Music is very expensive.
Well, someone, I don't know if it was Skip or who it was, Gary, someone ponied up and we got some music now.
I don't believe you.
So we got, what do you mean?
What, that it was Gary?
I don't believe that this is going to be good music. I believe that this might be bad music.
How dare you?
First win of many, and the first one's usually the hardest, and it was.
Tyler had such a beautiful game. I mean, he was remarkable.
It was such a great day at the stadium. The fans were ready and rocking.
The bumps and bruises come with football.
It's football in this league.
It's just in his DNA.
Hats off to our guys up front.
We got to collectively do better coaching, playing, every aspect of the game.
We're going to all continue to learn. We lose or draw, we're going to all continue to grow. We lost round two. Round three coming soon.
Whatever it means, it means. It means something different to all of us, you know? It means something. I can tell you what it means to me. It means a lot to me.
I've never watched Star Wars before.
It'd be frustrating, but it's a wasted opportunity, you know, if we don't learn from it and we don't correct the things that we can correct moving forward. Experience is great for everyone.
I just got to do a better job communicating. I think that's the biggest thing. We have to continue to push forward, eliminate the negatives, build on the positives. We can't let this game affect us heading to next week.
It's okay to play a boring game of football. You know, that's really it.
We just need to, you know, keep grinding, keep working.
He is an electric dude. He's competitive as crap. He wants to win so bad. Sometimes it's okay to be boring.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
When they get the ball in their hands, good things happen.
Play like practice.
We lost some heartbreaking wins.
We lost this game as a team.
It's a team effort.
We win and lose as a team.
Really, all phases had great plays and plays I know they want back, but we stuck together.
Part of being a tough team to beat is not beating yourself.
We beat ourselves. Penalties, drop passes, missed tackles. You know, and that starts with me. I got to do a better job.
Outcoached. Oh, I don't know if we got outcoached. Oh, we lost a game. I don't normally. That's a good question. I've been asked that question before.
This league's crazy. You know, you gotta keep your head down and keep going to work.
He had a little talk about nobody flinching. I mean, he just stayed the course. He relishes those moments, and he was at his best when his best was required.
You act like I left on my own. Golly, I didn't do it. Shoot, If I could have stayed. If I can't, they didn't want me like that ex-girlfriend. Shoot, I gotta go.
What transpired had to transpire, and I was stating that case to them.
But, you know, gladly I got a rebound. It was the Lions. They picked me up. You know what I mean? Now they feeding me good, taking me to dinners. You know what I mean? Another man's trash is another man's treasure.
Get that guy on the
that
show.
It's like that guy has a cartoon happy voice. That is absolutely a voice that you would expect to see in the to hear in the cartoons. Urban Meyer, man, he sounded a little more defeated than everyone else in there.
But it wasn't his fault.
He's never been.
In his defense, and he has been a little bit more defeated than everybody else.
Yes.
Outcoached? Me? No.
He didn't even say that. He didn't say. He just said, I've never heard that question before, which surprises me that he's. How can you be surprised by that question?
Well, when it's Vic Fangio on the opposite sideline, you could be a little surprised.
And also, he lost 32 times in college. He's been a college coach since 2001. He's lost 32 times. So, yeah, he's rarely been outcoached.
Billy, can you tell me who it was that said of somebody, he's an electric dude and he's competitive as crap?
That was Robert Saleh, who says it's okay to play a boring game.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Zach Wilson.
Boring game my entire life. I
mean, Stugatz was mad, and you may have heard him like spit upon hearing the Jets coach's voice. That's his second game. Stugatz spit at his microphone upon hearing his voice. But when he says competitive is crap, did you put that in there because crap isn't competitive? Like crap is to say someone is competitive is crap. Yeah. Crap is not competitive.
It could
no,
be.
It really isn't.
Yeah, no, it could be.
It just sits there. Doesn't do anything.
But size sometimes, girth, right. Smell. There's lots of aspects of crap that can be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't want to curse, Dan. He didn't want to say competitive as shit or competitive as
But if he had said that...
That was a twangy
It would sound better to your point then. Yeah.
You got really angry at the...
I'm tired of boring. I mean, I've been watching boring football. I've been a fan of this team for 40 years. They had one exciting season, two exciting seasons. Back-to-back AFC championships with Mark Sanchez. One of those two seasons, can't believe I'm saying this, they were boring to watch as they made it to the AFC championship game. I'm tired of being bored. I'd rather lose and be exciting than win and be boring.
That's a lie.
And to tell you're probably right. But to tell Zach Wilson boring's okay, you didn't draft Zach Wilson to be boring. You drafted Zach Wilson because you said he can make all the throws. Let him try and make all the throws. Don't do that to him. It's two games. He hasn't played that well. You have no offensive line. And now as a coaching staff, you're starting to get in the kid's head where he's going to start thinking before he throws the ball. Now, don't play boring. Play the way you play because that's why they drafted you. Don't do it any other way. Don't do it Salah's way. Do it Zach Wilson's way.
Where do you stand with Gase, by the way? Because you guys were very...
We're no longer close. Friends.
I mean, just because he's not the Jets coach?
No, because Sam Darnold's on his way to Canton. I mean, and we had him. He was our quarterback. It's unbelievable. And that team is really, really good. And Gase ruined him. I mean, that's it. Hey, Billy, he loses Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson's turned into a very nice wide receiver. Sam Darnold was a disaster as a New York Jet, and he goes to Carolina. Granted, two games into his career in Carolina, but they're 2-0. They haven't played a road game yet, and Darnold's playing very well.
I need to explain to the audience that this isn't a joke with Stugatz. You should have heard him before the show talking about Mike. In the category of Pete Carroll and Jimmy Johnson and some of these coaches that have done it in both places, he hit you with Matt Rhule. He did that off of 2-0 today.
I did
like,
that.
You guys were talking.
I regret doing it. I was hoping you would forget.
As if Matt Rhule was conquering so much at Temple.
A New Year's Bowl at Baylor as well.
And he's 2-0.
He was on his way, right? I mean, Matt Rhule.
To winning a national championship and being in the class of Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
and
I got carried away. I regret it again. I was hoping Dan would forget. He didn't. He never does.
Because of a 2-0 start at home?
A 2-0 start
I'm
by
projecting.
Carolina. This is Stugatz, incidentally, coming off of, I also heard him saying he was 0-5 picking games, Mike. This weekend, was that he may not have been 0-5 publicly because he said it was a fantasy thing that he went 0-5 on.
I was 0-4 on the Stugatz picks. There's a future bet I made. We'll find out the result of that one in 2 years. Mike and I are in this league. We've been in this league for a while now where you pick five games every week. I had a decent first week. I was 3-2. I went 0-5 this week.
Yeah, so he's a combined 0-9. In his defense, he couldn't pick the games in the other league that he went 0-5 on.
This is what I love, though. That Mike, that is what he said. He went 0-5, and he limped in with, well, those are the games they assigned. The ones you picked. You
I
went,
had to choose
you
those.
Went 0-4 on the ones you picked, so you basically got all nine. Can we start again, Mike? Let's start this again.
Let's be clear. It's 0-4, 0-1. One, okay.
No, I mean, you're not.
We don't
one.
Know the results of the no, one
you,
yet.
You can't give yourself, you don't you get can't a, give draw a draw there.
That's not a push
a no
because
action.
You,
you get your slip back.
I'm
Greg,
chasing
Greg,
Dan.
We're laughing because Stugatz, one of the games he picked was a game that did not exist on the schedule. He had two teams playing that were not playing. And so he was at 0-4 instead of 0-5 because he had Jacksonville playing the Saints or something.
I don't play for 2 years.
Well, anticipation.
Mike, I want to make this the start. Stugatz has now started right now. We need to keep track of this 0-9 because we've had a couple of these seasons. He started 1 year 0-17. What do you mean it's not fair?
Those five games were assigned to
no,
me.
No, they
You're
were assigned.
Last night.
So you picked the other five, one of which wasn't a game that was being played. So you, the five that were assigned that your excuses you lost on them, you picked four different ones and you lost those two.
0-9, 0-1.
Mind you, this is the same league that he was in last year. That he almost finished near bottom because he was starting to go for the bottom prize because if you finish last place,
yes,
that's so amazing that you do get a cash prize for that too. And he turned to me, he's like, Mike, I think I'm going to start going for last. I'm like, don't change a thing, Stugatz.
It's a bit too early for that, but guess my record, the five games I picked in college, Dan, guess the record. You don't have to guess. Five games in college, I went 3-1. How about that? I mean, 5 games, 3-1.
Oh, what happened to the other one? Push?
He only picked four.
Just another game that he probably got the schedule wrong. Just doesn't do anything right.
I was supposed to pick five, Greg, but I only like four.
Okay. Makes sense.
Give us the stat of the day music, short version, please.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
Sorry to do this to you, Stugatz, but Zach Wilson is the fourth rookie top five selection with zero passing touchdowns and four-plus interceptions in a game over the last 20 seasons. The most recent two to do it, Sam Darnold and Mark Sanchez.
Ouch.
Wow.
Ouch. Jesus.
So good stat.
So what a punch in the neck. So, Stugatz, did Zach Wilson have more completions to the other guys or as many completions to the other guys as he did to his own guys? I didn't see how many passes he completed in the game.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. I mean, I'll check on it.
I think I heard the stat like through three quarters, it was something like that. If he threw his four interceptions in the first three quarters, at one point he was pacing. I think he was terrible, correct? I didn't see any of the Jets game because they weren't in the red zone.
Right. He was, the Patriots were often. Zach Wilson completed, it looks like he completed 19 passes, so, and he had four interceptions. He was bad, Dan. There's nothing, I can't say no offensive line. The line stinks. He didn't have time. He made some bad decisions and some bad throws. It's his second game in the NFL against a Belichick coach defense.
It was a funny still that was circulating 0-for-2 with like three picks at one point.
Zach Wilson ranks 33rd of 33 rated quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
There are 33. Somebody's already gotten hurt. Speaking of which, you got something I wanted to ask you about yesterday. You threw into your weekend observations the Ryan Fitzpatrick injury news. Do you remember what your source was on that? Do you remember where you got that information? Because I did not know it before you were saying it.
Right.
And I was wondering who had reported it. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I had heard it on an ESPN radio show. That's where I believe I heard it. I believe.
I read that someone called into a local show in the Washington area and said that it was just a random guy who called in and said that they saw him limping around a water park after going down a slide. So I, you know, credibility seems dubious there.
The fast slide. I just love that we made it.
Be careful with that. I mean, we had a guy call us and tell us Shaq was about to be traded, and Dan and I laughed him off the air, and 15 minutes later, he was traded.
That is correct, but it doesn't mean that everyone who's calling a radio show with information correct news.
You just said be careful with it, and then did the opposite of what being careful with it would be.
You ran with it as it was a news item, and it may be indeed true. There could have been, in fact, it sounds true, that a guy at a water park saw Ryan Fitzpatrick, I like to think it's true, it seems delightful, come limping off the fast flume with his 7 kids.
Like when you see Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know you're seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick, yes. Right?
Yeah. No mistaking.
Yeah.
Do we really think he's going to a water park with all 7 kids? You got to leave at least 3 at home, right?
I don't know how that works. You don't know how it works. You just know that you hate kids, so more kids is going to be a bad experience for you.
7 kids at a water park? Does anyone here feel like they could manage that? 7 kids at a water park.
What kind of car do you think he drives to take his 7 kids places? Like a 15-passenger van? What is he?
Philip Rivers actually travels in one of these giant mobiles. I think he was doing this between Los Angeles and San Diego for a while.
Right.
Because he's got 14 kids?
Does he?
Something 9? How many kids does Philip Rivers have?
I think it's somewhere in between. Yeah.
I thought it
was
8. Very
Catholic, doesn't believe in contraceptives.
Enough kids that they're not going to fit in a normal sized vehicle.
I'm seeing that he has 9 kids, but that was as of 2020, so I need an updated figure because might have changed. Right.
Being locked in home, there's at least 2 more.
But I think that particular car was more about him getting ready for the game. Like he was commuting to practice every day. He was watching film. It had 15 televisions in it. It had nice couches, reclining seats in it. Like it was really, really nice. But it was all an effort to make him comfortable in his commute and get him ready for the game.
I believe it was a multi-million dollar vehicle. And I think that you're right. But the question stands, is it not difficult to get 9? You can't. 9 kids and a couple. How many cars can that fit in going to the water park?
Hmm.
Possibly 1 sprinter vehicle. They can happen.
It also depends on the age of the kids, yes. I suppose,
well,
right?
Yeah, it's just you know what? Don't invite me anywhere. I'm not coming.
But if they're too small, they use car seats, which take up a lot of room. So it's self-defeating.
Can we go back to the original premise of where we are in journalism? Stugatz reporting as fact, Ryan Fitzpatrick on a flume, a caller to a Washington radio station.
There's a lot of reports here, Dan.
There aren't a lot of reports.
Well, it's the same report, but a lot of people wrote about it. When there's smoke, there's fire.
It was one call that you don't remember where it is that you got the information as you sprung into action in your weekend observations and did an injury report. News on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Right. Had you guys heard that? Because I had not heard the flume thing, the injury flume thing, and I had not heard that it was a caller reporting it. Has anyone asked Fitzpatrick about this? Because it would be irresponsible, Stugatz, for Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is the chance of his life. This Washington team, Mina and Dominique were telling us last year, they're a piece away, they're a quarterback away, their defense is so good that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the upgrade they need. And then in the first game, he's brittle because he was on fast water flume, the bearded Harvard guy.
There are so many of these rumors that go around on message boards or, you know, radio shows or whatever. It's already happened to a few different players this season. You tend to just kind of like either let them play out or let actual journalists go and investigate them and then make those, you know, backed claims in a column or on a website or something. You don't just like, you know, put them in your weekend observations.
I wanted.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Reads true.
You could see him at the water park, on the slide, him not being careful on the slide. That's what Fitzmagic is all about.
Huge family man. Always takes his kids everywhere. Super dad, that guy.
Wow. I love this as a pivot by you guys. Somehow letting the white quarterback who does the stupid thing, giving him all the compliments for doing the stupid thing. Family man. Hey, the Fitzpatrick magic is in being reckless. You guys are making excuses for one of the dumbest things I've heard to happen to a starting quarterback at the start of the season.
Well, what I was saying yesterday is the complete opposite. I said, imagine if this was Jameis Winston. I mean,
it wouldn't be great family, man. And he's a lot of fun, I assure you.
So the argument was from Washington football team fans is that he was carrying this knock into the first game in which he legitimately got hurt because he got hurt. He got hurt on the football field. But they're saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick had to have been hurt because he looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick
before
he got hurt.
It's not they're saying. It's a caller to Washington Radio that has now been turned into a national story because people think it sounds true. That they saw the reporting on this is bearded, soaked Ryan Fitzpatrick trailed by seven kids limping from the fast flume.
They saw him limping around the park. And if you've been on that fast flume, it could happen.
You want to believe that this is true. And so we're making it true whether, again, the reporting is shoddy.
It's an interesting conspiracy theory. I'm thinking we should give it a name. How does Watergate sound?
I like it. Yes.
Oh!
Excellent.
It's not good when Greg's the only person who thinks a joke is funny. No, that's just not good.
Is that your fourth today?
Yeah. It's like my 10th this week, and it's Tuesday.
No, Watergate is better than what I had, which is they should rename it the Washington Flume Ball Team.
I like that, actually.
Thank you. The Washington Flume Ball Team. WFT.
Because, like, football starts with an F.
Right, yeah, yes, you don't have to say exactly. It again.
Thank you.
Chuck Eater!
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.